Hello, everyone, and this is Gloria Grubner Worldwide, Part 2.
It's Gloria Grubner Worldwide, Part 2, brought to you by the world-famous Phil Henry Show website. Every day, it's a party at philhenryshow.com. I'm Wade Nuxley.
Thank you very much, Ward Nuxley, and welcome to Gloria Grubner Worldwide. I'm Gloria Grubner. Many of you will recognize me as Gloria Grover. Grubner is my maiden name, and I use my maiden name Gloria Grubner on Gloria Grubner Worldwide because we take it a bit further afield of the Gloria Grover program associated with Elcott, The Next Step, and all of that marvelosity. And there's a word that I coined. Where are you, Dr. Tarner?
I'm over here just tying my shoe.
Oh, Dr. Ron Tarner is going to be with us. You're tying your shoe?
Yeah, it came undone.
Okay. Dr. Ron Tarner is going to be with us. And as you all remember, last show, I said, Dr. Ron Tarner will be our special guest. And would you please send in questions for Dr. Ron Tarner? We'll pick one and we will ask it of him. Now, no, I really didn't do that. I didn't ask you any of that. And I'm just pretending that I did. I'm the one that came up with this question for today. You still tying your shoe?
Yeah, I have. Look at... something to blow my nose.
Okay, get him a rag, a snot rag. I mean, I'm sorry. Get a handkerchief.
Right away.
I'm pretending that I picked a peck of peppers. I'm pretending that I picked a question that one of you sent in, and we'll ask Dr. Ron Tarner that question. Now, my maiden name is Grubner, and I use it on Worldwide, Gloria Grubner Worldwide, because, again, I want myself to be divorced away from all of the Gloria Grover married life, overlord status, my relationship with Dr. Elcott. And some days, and I know you know what I'm saying, some days you want to step away and get some air. You want to step away and go, oh, yeah, I'm getting a lungful of clean, good, fresh, sweet air, and get out of that. You've all been in a locker room, haven't you? And you know when someone breaks wind.
I'm almost ready.
Thank you. You know that when some, you know how vile it can be in a locker room, right? Well, that's my life in Elcott, The Next Step, and with Dr. Ed Elcott. I love him, and I love my work as an overlord. But being in that world too long, it's like just sitting in a foul locker room fog. And you try to get a breath of air, and you go, Jesus, you're waving it away. And I know. Now let's bring on a dear man who I had the great pleasure of meeting some 10 years ago, Dr. Tarner, when you first came on the Phil Henry Show. How are you?
Great. Thank you. And thank you very much, Gloria, for bringing me on the program. I heard some of what you were saying about Elcott, The Next Step. I'm very fascinated by that.
Well, it is a system of thought that we'd love to invite you to one of our orientations, and certainly Dr. Elcott holds forth on Sundays.
I have heard the Elcott, The Next Step a podcast on Sundays, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about that.
So you have an interest in spiritual matters?
I think any scientist involved in the exploration of reality, the exploration of existence, you know, the exploration of the cavity, what I call the cavity of creation, not the cavity, the cavity of creation, that would be like a hole, but the cavity is more like a cavern within a cavity. Many of us, when we think of cavity, what do we think of?
Well, a rotten tooth or something.
Yes. When we think of cavity, we think of someone who has a rotting tooth, as you just said. Rarely do we ever think of an expanse, a place that is a cavity, a place, a cavern that gives birth to light and gives birth to life. And gives birth to life and light, and that is where creation begins. And so, yes, very much being a scientist is to explore spiritual matters.
Well, today, Dr. Tarner here on Gloria Grubner Worldwide, we're going to ask you a question, and what I like to do is take my life in the Elcott, The Next Step religion. Hold on for a minute. What?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
I'm on the air right now.
We're going to do a commercial?
We'll do a commercial. And so, Bud.
Yeah, let's get looking at it.
And so, yes, and so that's why we're here today.
Well, I'm very excited and looking forward to it.
Now, Dr. Turner, to get some background, you are an astrophysicist.
I am, yes.
And you're from the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado.
Correct, yes.
I saw in anticipation of our question, I saw a piece on Dr. Stephen Hawking. Okay, right away you tensed up.
No. People get the wrong idea. I think Dr. Stephen Hawking was an eminent man, a great man. It's just that, you know, a little bit of him went a long way. Here's a guy. Never mind.
No. I want to explore this. What is your major problem with Dr. Stephen Hawking?
I don't have a problem with the, may he rest in peace. God knows Dr. Stephen Hawking was an accomplished man in so many different ways. And if I'm not telling you, you probably already know it. And I get it beaten into me every day. Every time I open up a book or look at a...
Oh, you have some resentment, huh?
No, I don't really. Dr. Stephen Hawking's an eminent man. But we had an annual joke writing contest among theoretical physicists and astrophysicists across the country, and Hawking won it like 5-6 years running. You know.
Oh, so there was a competition, a joke writing contest among physicists.
Yes, you know, we let our hair down, if you have any. And in the case of Dr. Hawking, even if he had, well, I think he had hair, but he couldn't let it down because he couldn't move.
Well, that's not necessary.
You're right. I'm sorry.
What is the matrix, if you will, if I may coin a phrase or a word? What is the origin of your hostility?
It's not hostility. I have great admiration. I do. But this is a guy who can't. What is he doing with all these girlfriends? Number one.
Well, why is that weird?
He's listening to one side of the wheelchair. He's got the. He's just. You know what? Have you ever seen a picture of him?
Yes, of course I did. The poor man had a Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah, I know, but how does a guy like that rate? He's got one broad after the next.
Now, Dr. Turner.
I wish you hadn't asked me that question because you got me. Now I'm thrown off. I hope.
Bud, where are you?
Okay, just getting this game. You got it? Okay. I was talking to Wade Nuxley.
Cut all of this out.
Cut out what?
All of this stuff about Stephen Hawking, okay?
I really wish you would, because it makes me look like the back end of a donkey, and I'm trying to come out of here and put my best foot forward.
Yes, sir, I will.
All right, we'll count it in.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, sure. So Dr. Ron Turner's with us. So you were a big admirer of Dr. Stephen Hawking.
Loved him. I couldn't live without him, and I'm sorry to see him go. Funny. And, you know, had women, wow, one after the other.
Well, as I mentioned on today's program, we're going to ask you a question that was just randomly selected from questions that were sent in by our listeners. Is that all right with you?
I'm all ready to go, all ears.
All right, here is today's question. What is a black hole?
What? That's not the question. First of all, a black hole, that's Stephen Hawking's area of research. Number two, I thought you were going to ask me a question about...
I didn't know. I didn't say that I was... I said it would be in these areas. It would be in astrophysics areas, in the area of heavenly bodies.
I thought it was going to be a question about bars.
Well, it's not a question about bars.
Hey, you know what, Grubner? I know you're a woman.
Yeah, you know I'm a woman. And what?
Nothing.
Count it in, bud. You're answering a question about black holes. You understand?
Yeah, I understand. God damn it.
3, 2, 1. You.
Yes, and so the question is, what is a black hole?
Well, thank you very much, Gloria. The black hole, and the great Stephen Hawking did a great amount of research on a black hole. And one of the things that Stephen Hawking found out was that black holes do emanate radiation. We didn't think that black holes emanated anything. We think that black holes sucked everything in, but did not expel anything out. So, having said all of that, just to kind of give the Hawking tie-in, what is a black hole? A black hole is in outer space.
Yeah.
And it sucks everything in. And
well, when you say it sucks everything in, what do you mean?
Well, everything that's close to it, planets, stars, anything, and as has been said by many, whatever goes into a black hole, and anything could come out of a black hole. Trumpets, tambourines.
Human beings?
Human beings. So we don't know, but when something goes into a black hole, it's gone forever for the most part.
But radiation comes out.
Yes, radiation comes out.
But what causes it?
What causes a black... The black hole is... it's in space.
Right.
And can you not have him looking at me?
Bud.
Sorry.
And I would like it if you didn't look at me either.
Well, I'm trying to just...
Look away. Just ask me the question while you're staring at the ceiling.
All right. So what is a black hole, Dr. Tonner?
The black hole. Ah, yeah. Thank you very much, Gloria. The black hole is a hole.
Yeah.
In outer space, one would think. And what it does is it sucks in everything.
Why?
Okay, why? Great question. Why does it do that? It sucks it in, and we don't yet know. Now, Dr. Hawking has taught us that radiation comes out. But why does everything get sucked in? It gets sucked in because it's as if things are passing through space, and like a star, a cloud, you know, it could be anything. It could be a bucket.
A bucket?
If you know what I'm trying to say. And then it kind of goes along and goes, oh, look at that. Let's see what... the curiosity, that's what does it. And the curiosity...
Yes, but we're not talking about intelligent life. You're talking about planets.
Yeah. Yes, we are talking about planets. We are talking about stars. We're talking about anything in space will get sucked into a black hole.
Well, what causes the suction?
What causes the suction? Reminds me of, you know, I love this show, Gloria, but people that don't like this show might say, what causes the suction of Gloria Grubner worldwide, you know? You know?
I don't get it.
Yeah, just move on.
You're saying this show sucks?
No, I do not.
Because that's...
No, I'm saying some people... What causes the black... You, when a planet is going by the black hole... And it looks over.
But now, when a planet, what do you mean it looks over?
Anything in space, anything in life, has some intelligent core and some level of curiosity.
Does a rock?
A rock?
No, a rock, a stone.
Oh, no, not on Earth it doesn't. But out in outer space, where things have to survive, literally where things have to survive, they will float along, trying intelligently to find their place. So... Is a rock intelligent? No, but if it's floating in space for a long, long time, it does develop a sense as to where it must go to survive. So if a rock or a planet or anything is going by a black hole, it may glance over.
Now, what do you mean glance over?
I mean it just, it's awareness. It looks and goes, oh, yeah, you know, and then curiosity killed the cat. It goes over to the black hole and boom.
And gets sucked in.
Exactly.
All right. So we're here with Dr. Ron Tarner, who's telling us that black holes are these large holes in space that suck things in. And the reason why they suck things in is objects in space don't know well enough to stay away.
There. Yeah. Yeah. Bud?
All right. Yeah.
That is...
Can it?
That is the reason. They don't know well enough to stay away. And so it sucks it in.
And radiation comes out. Do we know, has there ever been a photograph of a black hole? Because I understand you work at an observatory, and are not there observatories worldwide that are tracking black holes?
Well, you know, I hear about some of these jokers that, yeah, they've got the Event Horizon telescope. I was going to say horoscope, as you might as well be. And they have these different telescopes. They think they're going to photograph a black hole. There's no way you photograph a black hole. You want to know why?
Why?
Because it's black. You can't see it. So it's out there in space, and it just sits out there.
All right. Well, let's take a phone call. I said we take a phone call. Dr. Jim Sadler is on the phone. Dr. Sadler is Dr. Ron Tarner.
Oh, Dr. Tarner, how are you? It's Dr. Jim Sadler.
I'm fine.
I was listening with, and by the way, I'm just taking the tub. I hope that the...
No, that's perfectly fine.
Okay. I was listening to your answer concerning black holes, and you sounded like you were a little bit foggy on it, you know?
No. I'm not foggy on anything, Sandler. I'm an astrophysicist. You do what? You get your finger up someone's...
Why the hostility?
Because this is a band that is called repeatedly every time on the Phil Henry Show.
Look, I'm only saying this, Dr. Tata, because you are patently wrong about the black hole. A black hole has dark matter. You know about dark matter?
Yeah, I know all about dark matter. Woo! Are you some?
Well, why is there a hostility here, Dr. Turner? Dr. Sadler seems to have information.
You want to know why? Because I call up and I break his balls.
All right, let's watch the language.
You don't break anybody's. Sadler, Sadler, you could break my balls if you ran him over with a steep roller, okay?
A steep roller?
You know, if I was near that tub right now and I had a fan plugged in, guess where the fan would go?
Oh, my God. You can just throw it in the tub? You have the thing that says...
That was uncalled for, Dr. Turner.
You know something? Look.
Dr. Turner, we're going to cut all of this out.
Okay. Ms. Grubner, that guy breaks my castanets every time he calls the show.
Well, why don't you answer? Bud, count us down.
3, 2, 1, you.
Yes, well, we lost the connection there, but Dr. Turner, the question was, is there something called dark matter?
Yes, there is something called dark matter. Dark matter is dark, number one, you know, is why they call it that. And dark matter is so dark, and it's way out there, and we can't see it. So we have matter, such as you and I are batter, and we do batter, you know.
You mean batter.
Hey, Dickman, watch it. Sorry.
When we matter, we not only do we matter, but we are batter. Right?
Right. And I suppose you could say that I'm getting madder. I'm not. I'm just kidding.
Well, she's...
I'm kidding around.
Right. But so dark matter is matter that is beyond, matter that we can't see, beyond the realm of our universe. And the density of dark matter is such that it is pulling the universe apart.
Is that why they call it the Big Rip?
Hey, give the lady a cigar, okay? Put a mustache on that broad, you know.
I beg your pardon?
No, nothing. I'm sorry. I.
You want? Okay.
Roll back. Pick it up.
3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, so thank you. So I got it right.
Yes, you did. You did. Yes, dark matter is so dense that it is pulling the universe apart.
Well, could that not be what's in a black hole?
In what sense?
When you say it is so dense, the gravitational pull of dark matter is such that it's pulling the universe apart. Couldn't we also say that dark matter is what is in what a black hole is, and hence it's sucking it in?
Well, this is the problem we have in the scientific community, because some of us don't like the term suck it in.
Why not?
I'm asking the questions, dickhead.
3, 2, 1, go.
Well, why not?
Well, why not? Because I'm a scientist, okay? And I believe in the application of scientific principle and scientific description. So when we talk about dark matter in a black hole, sucking it in, almost as if a black hole is some slut, you know?
Well, you have such disdain.
I don't like it. I'd like to think of a black hole as, yes, it's so dense it is drawing... it's drawing other matter in. It's so dense, its gravitational pull is so strong that it is pulling everything into it until all of it that it pulls into it, it disappears.
Now, okay, and that's dark matter.
That is dark matter. That's also what surrounds the physical universe, what we live in, that we live in. And so beyond the universe, if you go as far, far out into the universe, as far away as you can.
How many gazillion light years?
Dickman, shut it up.
Oh, sorry.
You ask me the question, I'll ask it.
Okay.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
How many light years is that? How many light years do we have to travel before we arrive at a point where there's no more stars, there's nothing left?
It's billions of light years. Billions of billions.
Millions?
Yes, billions.
Not billions.
No, it, billions.
Because I...
I'm sorry. Yeah, but you have to go way, way, way out there. And I like to make the joke, you know, you have to go so far out that even Dickman doesn't recognize it, you know?
Dickman?
I said Dickman, Dick.
Wait, whoa, chump. Back it up.
3, 2, 1, mama.
All right, and so out there is dark matter.
Out there is dark matter, and that's pulling the universe apart.
All right, I'm talking here with Dr. Ron Tarner of the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado, about black holes. And that was the big question that we asked him, that was written in by you, that was sent in by you.
Who sent that question in, by the way?
Who sent it in?
Yeah.
Oh, it was Mrs. Mary Brown.
In what city?
And she lives in
Costa Mesa.
Costa Mesa, California.
Oh, okay. Well, Ms. Brown, that's the best answer I could give you. Dark matter is what inhabits a black hole and sucks it in. Although I don't like the term sucks it in.
Because you think it makes a black hole sound like some slut sitting on a street corner.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more questions for Dr. Ron Tarner.
Hi, Wade Nuxley, announcer of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and announcing tonight on Gloria Grubner Worldwide. You got to get a backstage pass. You have no choice. You must get a backstage pass to become a subscriber and a member of the Backstage Pass family for under $10 a month. Why? You get over 55,000 hours of the radio show, digital content, video casts, home movies, TV pilots, miscellany, all kinds of short-form and long-form Phil Hendry, and some of the old video casts back in the nationally syndicated radio days. By the way, that radio archive goes back almost 30 full years. If you don't get a subscription to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, there are serious questions about your mental capacity.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, I'm Gloria Grubner. Get a backstage pass today. It's the greatest value online, I'm told, other than porn. Welcome back, everyone, to Gloria Grubner Worldwide on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Yeah. I'm Gloria Grubner, I'm worldwide. Gloria Grubner, wide, wide, wide. I'm Gloria Grubner, how about you? You're not me, neither I am too. And this is Gloria Grubner, and with me, you look surprised there, Dr. Tarner.
Yeah, that was...
Yes, Kevin.
Yeah, that...
What, too weird for you?
Well, no, it's...
All right, can the music. You know, I don't need to take this kind of...
All right, should we back up?
Yeah, start again.
3, 2, 1, you.
All right, anyway, that was a little song. And with me is Dr. Ron Tarner. We have another question here from Susie Wilson, and she lives in...
Glendale.
Glendale, California. And her question is, dear Dr. Tarner, do you think we'll ever land on Mars? And if we do, will there be violence on board the ship, given the fact that it will take so long to get to Mars and then come back to Earth? And probably they'll have a woman on board. Susie Wilson.
Well, Susie, that's a very good question. Will there be violence on board any mission to Mars? First of all, we're going to be launching our mission to Mars from the moon. And that will cut off the travel time considerably, not that much, only by about a week. It's going to take us about a good, I don't know, 6 years or so, I forget how much, 6 months to something like that to get to Mars. And we will have a crew of 2 men and 1 woman. The reason for that is the men will do the work, the woman will do the calculations, but there'll only be 1 woman, there'll be 2 men. And they'll both be attracted to the woman. That's kind of how it'll be. And they might get into a fist fight or something like that. So my recommendation to the Aeronautic and Space Administration is to put 2 women on board. But the spaceship's not big enough. They can only put 3, and they're going to put 2 guys and 1 woman. And I said, well, how about if they put 2 women and 1 guy? And they wisely said they'd never get it. They'd never get no work done, you know. They'd never get it done.
Yeah, no, I get it, yeah.
Yeah. So will there be violence? I wouldn't call it violence, but the tensions will run high as one of the male astronauts will obviously, he'll couple off with the female, leaving the one male astronaut to stand there with a thumb up his you-know-what, you know, writing down calculations and seeing where stars are. It'll be really boring for him while the male astronaut and the female astronaut couple off and go off to a bunk bed someplace on a spaceship. So that's something they have to work out, and NASA's working very, very hard on that between now and when we take off.
When do you think the mission to Mars will commence?
Well, it's a good question. We have to get on the moon, and we have to build a moon base. Once we get the moon base built, then we could go to Mars. But it's going to take a long time. We have to ship up the materials, and then we have to get the workers together and get them focused and say, okay, this is what you got to do here for the next however long. Because you have to understand, when you send workers to the moon, they're going to stand around looking at the stars. And another problem we're going to have is if they bring, you know, cannabis or something with them.
Well, are you talking about drug use?
No, not. I'm just saying they're going to blast up and sit around all day long, blasting weed and looking at the sun and the moon and the star, looking at the sun and the stars and going, hey, now what a nutty place, right? And never really getting around to work. And so we're going to have to send someone up there to kick some, you know what?
Yeah, we have to send someone to kick ass.
Yeah. And say, now look, you guys are up here for a reason. You can sit around all day long blowing that weed and not get nothing done. But we need to get a boot base built. So, you know, suck the rest of that weed, whatever, you know, whatever you're vaping, and get your ass in gear. And I imagine...
Should we have the military involved then?
I absolutely think the military should be involved at the very highest level. Soldiers, military, so that when some guy is porking off, is what we call porking off, or sticking it in a barrel and going, woo, you know, he's reminded of his duty. Reminded of his duty as a band.
Dr. Tarner, from the mission to Mars, to black holes, to everything in between, it's been a great pleasure having you on Gloria Grubner Worldwide.
My pleasure, and thank you. And may I say one thing? Mr. Henry...
Well, we've only got about 10 seconds.
All right. Well, Mr. Henry, I saw he gave a show to Chef Cianelli. I'm the only one that I ain't not had a show.
All right. We'll take it up with him, Charlie, okay?
Yeah, okay, fine.
Gloria Grubner Worldwide has been brought to you by the world-famous Phil Henry Show website. 55,000-plus hours of the good stuff at philhenryshow.com.
Yeah. I'm Dr. Rod Tartan.
You're all done. And thank you. This program has been executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on Podcast One. I'm Gloria Grubner. Me, I.
And I'm Bud Dickman.
That's Bud. And that's...
I'm Dr. Ron Tarner.
You're Dr. Ron Tarner.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
What's it look like I'm doing? I'm doing a little Irish jig.
Look at that.
Let's get up and dance with him, Gloria.
Gloria?
I mean Ms. Grubner.
All right, here we go. Yahoo!
Yeah, you're pretty good at it.
And I dance good, too.
Oh, man. That's vile.